Interesting. Very interesting. I kind of want to dive into the sort of non-spatiotemporal elements before universe came into being, but I think again, one for another conversation. Speaking of universes, though, I think it'd be good to talk about the design argument and sort of fine tuning. So, obviously, the design argument is quite well known. The sort of watch that somebody sees on the floor picks it up. They kind of look at that and they intuit from this that it's been created and designed. And then somebody looks around at life and evolution before we knew what evolution was, and we would say, you know, this looks like it's been designed to fit into their environments, etc. Obviously, the theory of evolution comes onto the scene and causes a lot of challenges to the sort of design argument. But as you rightly point out in the book, and I've read elsewhere from many people, the universe could be said to be fine-tuned, that the various elements and constants, etc., are in a certain parameters that means that life happens to be able to evolve, i.e., kind of we're here on Earth and we're part of the universe. So I guess it'd be interesting to kind of understand how we address the counter argument that the apparent fine tuning could be a result of chance or natural processes. And does this challenge the idea of a deliberate cosmic designer at all?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. Anything could be the result of chance, but that's not a good explanation, right? So, it's just so the problem is, well, it's just extraordinarily unlikely. Okay, so this is the kind of thing that people say, and so you know, I'm not a physicist, so all I can do is say what people have told me, right? But the kind of thing they say is like, if the gravitational constant were a little bit different, and really a very little bit different from its current value, then there wouldn't be any life. So if the gravitational constant were a little bit bigger, then the universe would have recollapsed before stars formed, and there wouldn't be any life. Right? And you know, just to test it, in case you were thinking that maybe there would be some completely different kind of life, like, you know, what's your credence that we're going to find life in a cloud of hydrogen? There's no life there, okay? Like, people who are searching for life, they're not going to search anywhere except on planets, right? Which formed as a result of stellar nebulae. Okay, so there had to be stars first. So anyway, and then if the gravitational constant were a little bit weaker, then the universe would have expanded too quickly for stars to form at all. So then there wouldn't be any people. Okay, and you know, when they say that, when they say things like this, they say things like, you know, if you adjusted it by 1/10^40 of its current value, it would result in there not being life. Now, I don't know if that was, you know, the right number, but it's like, it's ridiculously small adjustments result in there not being any life. And there's a whole bunch of things. It's not just the gravitational constant. There's things like the mass of the proton or the ratio of the gravitational to the electromagnetic force, right? And then they just sort of reason through different reasons why life would be impossible if these parameters were different. Okay. So you get things like, oh, there not being any elements heavier than hydrogen if you adjust some of the parameters. Okay, and then, well, nobody thinks that that you can make a life form out of hydrogen, so it wouldn't be any life, right? So okay, so then you're like, oh, you know, why is it that way? And you might think, oh, you know, just chance. Okay, like, well, that just seems extraordinarily unlikely. I don't know what the probability is. I can't calculate it explicitly, but it just seems super unlikely, right? Okay, and then, you know, like one response is, oh no, actually you can't assign probabilities to the laws of nature being a certain way. Some people say this, right? Because I don't know, because maybe the laws of nature have to be the way that they are. Because maybe that's part of the nature of a law, that it just has to be that way. So anyway, you know, my response to this is, well, you know, imagine a scenario in which we discovered previously unnoticed consequences of the laws of nature. So suppose that we discovered that there's a particular kind of crystal where, you know, like when you get certain chemicals together, they just form into this crystal pattern, and it forms into a shape that under a microscope looks like the English words "made by God" in Times New Roman font. And everybody who looks through the microscope sees it. Okay, and then and you know, the chemists are like, oh wow, why did this happen? And then they eventually figure out that this is actually a consequence of some really weird specific values of parameters in the laws of nature that we didn't previously notice had this consequence. Okay, now you imagine somebody saying, throwing up their hands and going, yeah, that doesn't show anything. That's just, you know, just coincidence. It just happened to be that way. No, right? Like, okay. Because you can't assign probabilities to the laws of nature. So there's no probabilistic argument here to be made at all. That's not any evidence at all that there was any intelligent design. Okay. And now, by the way, I'm not saying that this would be conclusive proof that there was a God. It wouldn't be conclusive proof, but would it be evidence that there's a God? Yes. Or that at least that there was an intelligent being who had influence over the laws of nature. I think it would be evidence of that. Okay, so that means that any objection to the fine-tuning argument that that implies that you wouldn't have evidence for intelligent design, even in that scenario, must be wrong. Okay, so the objection to the fine-tuning argument, which says, well, you can't assign probabilities to the laws of nature, that must be wrong, right? Because that implies that even in the made-by-God scenario, you'd have no evidence for intelligent design. Right.
So if somebody was to start with the O3 world creator, as we previously defined it, and then comes to the fine-tuning argument, they could potentially use that as a as backing to their God. So they have to previously begin with that position to then kind of use that. But if somebody was to come to just the fine-tuning argument, there's obviously a whole ton of work that they'd have to do to then come to the conclusion that the O3 world designer or creator is that God that has intuited the universe and put those parameters in place to kind of have life being able to come into existence in our universe. So it's quite interesting because it's the sort of fine-tuning argument on its own doesn't get you to where you potentially want to go as a theist if you were one. Yep. But actually, if you're already theist, it's quite an interesting argument to have, in like an arrow to have in your quiver, right, to be able to use in a conversation, because it's going to make the skeptic theoretically have to kind of, I can squirm a little bit potentially. I don't know. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, so like the fine-tuning argument is an argument for intelligent design. Theism is a form of intelligent design theory. So in that sense, it's supported. But theism goes further than intelligent design. It says that the designer was omnipotent and omniscient and perfectly good. And I don't know what reason we have for believing that. So if you're going to create a universe, like if you could adjust the parameters of the laws of nature, you must be pretty powerful. But you don't have to be all powerful. And as a matter of fact, I think omnipotence might be logically impossible. Okay. But it's not logically impossible for there to be a being who could adjust the laws of nature. So, but I think that might be enough to call them God, right? Like if there's a being who can create the laws of nature and they created the universe, you know, that's kind of okay. that's kind of enough to call them God. Omniscience, I think omniscience also might be impossible, right? But, you know, this gets into my views about infinity, right? I think that might be an impossible form of the infinite because it involves infinite information density. And then, you know, being perfectly good, maybe being perfectly good is possible. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't see evidence that, you know, the creator doesn't appear to be perfectly good if there is one, because wouldn't he make a better world than this, you know? Right? Or he's not powerful enough to make a better world.
If you enjoyed this clip, then head on over to Locals to access the full conversation right now. Supporters can access the video version, and everyone can access the audio-only version of the conversation. I'll see you over there.